from Burnaby Mountain.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This is an historic and important day for Ireland and for Palestine. Taking our place on the world stage and being recognized by others as having the right to be there was a matter of the highest importance for the founders of our state.
Ireland, Norway, and Spain have announced plans to formally recognize Palestine as an independent state, sparking criticism from Israel and the United States. We'll speak to a member of the Irish Parliament on Ireland's long history of Palestinian solidarity. Then to Dr. Adam Hamawi. He just left Gaza after being trapped at the European hospital in Khan Yunis with other American doctors. Hamawi is a former army surgeon. 20 years ago in Iraq, he saved the life of now Senator Tammy Duckworth after her legs were blown off. Then 4 years ago this coming Saturday, Minneapolis police killed George Floyd, sparking the historic protests for racial justice. We'll look at filmmaker Yancey Ford's new documentary, Power, about the untold story of American policing.
In the United States, police power is essentially unregulated. In this kind of democracy, who is more powerful? The people or the police?
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's intensifying its ground and aerial attacks on the southern Gaza city of Rafah, where until recently more than 1.4 million Palestinians had sought refuge. According to the United Nations, over 800,000 Palestinians have fled Rafah, despite having no safe place to go. In Gaza City, Israel bombed a mosque and a school housing displaced Palestinians. Al Jazeera reports the bombing killed 10 people, including 5 children. Dozens were wounded. The overall death toll in Gaza has now topped 35,700. Israel's also continuing to target medical facilities in Gaza. Israeli forces have stormed Al-Auda Hospital and the Jabalia refugee camp, forcing medical staff to abandon the hospital. The World Health Organization has issued an urgent appeal for Israel to protect the hospital's medical staff and patients. On Tuesday, Israeli missiles struck the emergency department at Kamel Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza. Dr. Hassam Abu Safia described the attack.
What happened a short while ago, and we never imagined that one day we would be targeted directly. The emergency department was targeted by more than 3 missiles. The first missile, when it hit the entrance of the emergency department. We tried to enter, and then a second missile hit, and then the third, and the building nearby was hit. We do not know what their fate is.
On Capitol Hill, Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson's moving ahead with a plan to invite Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to address a joint session of Congress. Johnson's urging Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to sign on to the invitation, despite strong pushback from many Democrats. This comes just days after the chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court announced he's seeking an arrest warrant for Netanyahu for war crimes in Gaza. Meanwhile, Israel and the U.S. are criticizing a move by Ireland, Norway, and Spain to recognize Palestine as an independent state May 28th, bringing the total number of countries recognizing Palestine to 146. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan spoke Wednesday.
President Biden, as I just said, has been on the record supporting a two-state solution. He has been equally emphatic on the record that that two-state solution should be brought about through direct negotiations through the parties, not through unilateral recognition.
In Colombia, President Gustavo Petro has ordered the opening of a Colombian embassy in the Palestinian city of Ramallah in the occupied West Bank. This comes weeks after Petro broke diplomatic relations with Israel after he accused Israel of committing genocide in Gaza. This is Colombia's foreign minister, Luis Gilberto Murillo.
So we believe, we are sure that more and more countries are going to recognize Palestine, and this is nothing against Israel or the people of Israel or Jewish people. The United Nations agreed, in the context of the Oslo Accords, that a two-state solution should be created. And so if you need two states, then obviously that requires Palestine to be recognized as a state.
Back in the U.S., two progressive Democrats lost their primary races in Oregon Tuesday after they were vastly outspent by more right-leaning candidates. Sushila Jayapal, the older sister of Congressional Progressive Caucus Chair Pramila Jayapal, lost to Maxine Dexter, who received around 30 times more money than Jayapal, including over $2 million from the pro-Israel AIPAC-affiliated 314 Action Fund. Sushila Jayapal called for urgent campaign finance reform after the vote. Elsewhere in Oregon, progressive candidate Jamie McLeod Skinner was defeated by Janelle Bynum, who received nearly $500,000 from 314 Action Fund. China's launched 2 days of military drills around Taiwan just days after the self-governing territory inaugurated its new president. Chinese state media said the military exercises will, quote, serve as a strong punishment for the separatist acts of Taiwan independence forces, unquote. Taiwanese President William Lai Ching-te responded to the news by saying he will strengthen Taiwan's army and, quote, continue to defend the values of democracy, protecting regional peace and stability, unquote. In the United Kingdom, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak called a surprise snap election for July 4th, taking a major gamble as he seeks re-election, even as his Conservative Party is trailing far behind the opposition Labour Party in the polls. Conservatives have been in power in Britain since 2010. In environmental news, an international maritime tribunal issued a ruling that says greenhouse gases are pollutants that can cause irreversible harm to the marine environment, and governments must, quote, adopt laws and regulations to prevent, reduce, and control them. Though the ruling is non-binding, small island nations on the front lines of the climate have hailed it as a groundbreaking victory, and it's likely to lead to more cases against the largest polluters. The decision affects 165 countries that ratified the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea. The United States is not one of them. In Florida, a federal judge temporarily blocked part of a new law that would make it a felony to transport undocumented migrants into the state. The measure was pushed as part of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis's attacks on immigrants. Meanwhile, in Arizona, the state Senate advanced a Republican-led ballot measure for the November election, which would allow local and state agencies to detain undocumented people crossing the southern border and allow state judges to order their removal from the U.S. Arizona Democrats and immigrant justice advocates have condemned the measure for further criminalizing migrants. This is Jose Patiño of the group Aliento.
Myself, my dad was deported when I was 11 years old. I remember to this day how I felt scared in a corner asking for help, and how the people who were supposed to protect us, aka police officers, were the ones who were taking my dad away.
Another flag favored by diehard Trump supporters was seen on display outside another one of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito's homes. The New York Times reports an appeal to heaven flag, a symbol carried by insurrectionists on January 6, was photographed flying in front of Alito's New Jersey vacation house last summer. The flag, featuring a pine tree, is found in far-right Christian circles. This comes just a week after the New York Times reported Alito flew an upside-down U.S. flag outside his Virginia home January 2021, a symbol used by election deniers. Even before Wednesday's latest revelation, some 50 House Democrats wrote a letter calling on Justice Alito to recuse himself from January 6-related cases, including Trump's claim to presidential immunity in his election subversion cases. An appeal to heaven flag also hangs outside the office of House Speaker Mike Johnson. The Senate on Wednesday confirmed President Biden's 201st federal judge nominee. At this point in Trump's presidency, Republicans had secured 196 judges. Democrats hope to exceed Trump's total of 234 judicial confirmations during his term, which would represent about a quarter of the federal judiciary. In Uvalde, Texas, families of the victims of the massacre at Robb Elementary School announced they've settled a lawsuit with the city for $2 million as they launched a lawsuit against 92 officers with the Texas Department of Public Safety, the school district, and individual employees. This is Javier Cazares, father of killed 9-year-old Jackie, speaking at a press conference yesterday.
No amount of money is worth the children's, our lives of our children. Justice and accountability has always been my main concern. We've been let down so many times. The time has come to do the right thing.
News Wednesday came just 2 days ahead of the 2-year anniversary of the Uvalde massacre, which killed 19 children and two teachers. 376 law enforcement officers responded to the mass shooting, but it took 77 minutes for anyone to enter the classroom where the gunman was slaughtering children. Earlier this week, the new Uvalde School District police chief resigned just a year after taking up the job. His predecessor was fired over the botched response to the shooting. President Biden's canceled another $7.7 billion in student loans for 160,000 borrowers. The funds will benefit those enrolled in certain repayment plans, such as public service loans and income-driven plans. This latest move brings the overall student debt relief issued by the Biden administration to $167 billion after the Supreme Court struck down a more comprehensive plan last year that would have provided relief for some 40 million people. And in related news, a dozen members of the debt collective group were arrested Wednesday after 100 protesters marched from the Education Department to the Capitol demanding Biden fund education, not genocide, unquote. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In an historic move, leaders from Ireland, Norway, and Spain announced Wednesday they will formally recognize Palestine as an independent state May 28th. Israel responded by recalling its ambassadors from each of the countries. Norway's Prime Minister, Jonas Gahr Ture, spoke in Oslo Tuesday.
There can be no peace in the Middle East without Palestinians and Israelis having their own states, and that there is a two-state solution. There cannot be a two-state solution without a Palestinian state. And in other words, peace in the Middle East requires a Palestinian state.
Ireland's new prime minister, Simon Harris, referenced Ireland's own history of emerging from colonial rule as he announced recognition of a Palestinian state.
This is an historic and important day for Ireland and for Palestine. Taking our place on the world stage and being recognized by others as having the right to be there was a matter of the highest importance for the founders of our state.
Ireland, Norway, and Spain will join 143 other nations recognizing Palestine as a state. While Israel denounced the three nations, Palestinians in Gaza welcomed the move. This is Mahmoud Bajed al-Aswad, a displaced Palestinian speaking in Rafah.
This is a great thing. We hope other countries will recognize the Palestinian state, as Spain did recently, and Norway and Ireland. We have the right to live like other countries, to have a state, and to live in freedom like other countries in the world.
On the streets of Dublin, supporters of the move to recognize Palestine as a state spoke of Ireland's long history of solidarity with Palestinians.
Yeah, I think Palestine should be recognized as a state. I think Ireland and Palestine have a lot of, like, conjoined history, and we've been oppressed by similar groups and things in the past. And I think if Irish people can't see the correlation there, then they either don't know what it is to be Irish, they don't understand enough about Irish history.
We go now to Dublin, where we're joined by Catherine Connolly, independent member of the Irish Parliament. Welcome to Democracy Now! It's great to have you with us. Can you start off by talking about the significance of this move, and was there any opposition?
Amy, thank you very much for having me, and congratulations on your work. And I very much welcome the decision taken by our government in our name to recognise the state of Palestine, along with two other countries, Norway and Spain. And next Tuesday will be historical when we raise the Palestinian flag on the grounds of our parliament, known as the Dáil. Was there any opposition to this? Absolutely not. In fact, a lot of us would feel frustrated that it has taken so long, but not to take from the momentousness of the decision. It's a very good day for Ireland that we finally stop the rhetoric and took the first step in a series of actions that I believe must be taken. And that first step is to recognize the state of Palestine.
And can you talk about what those steps are that you think must follow this recognition that will happen officially on May 28th, next Tuesday?
Yes. Well, we have Ashanan Airport, an international airport. And for many years now, I and my colleagues have been highlighting the fact that American weapons, the American army, are freely going through this airport. And we have raised it consistently in the parliament, and we've been given reassurances by the government that there are no arms and that we should get the evidence and bring it to the government, and then they'll do something about it. That's an impossibility. Many have tried, actually, many courageous people, and some have gone to prison for their efforts in their attempts to get evidence to show what's happening. But the duty is on the government to inspect those planes. They don't do that, and they've taken the reassurances of the American government that no weaponry is going through Shannon. So that's one action. The second action is to enact the Occupied Territories Bill, which would ban any Israeli produce from the occupied territories. That bill is in being since 2018, brought by a courageous senator, Senator Francis Black. And that was 2018. And 6 years later, we still haven't enacted that. Then there's also the European Trade Agreement, which contains a relatively strong human rights clause, and we should be forcing the EU to act on that clause and stop trading with Israel.
I wanted to play for you the Israeli Foreign Affairs Minister recalling Israel's ambassador to Ireland, Dana Ehrlich, speaking to News Talk. Ambassador Ehrlich said Ireland's recognition of a Palestinian state is a prize for terrorism.
How does this help the people of Gaza today, waking up to this news? How does this help them under the Hamas regime, brutal, cynical regime that they have been dealing with? The fact that about half an hour after this announcement, a Hamas official has welcomed and congratulated the statement, saying that these recognitions are the direct result of the brave so-called resistance, they call it, the October 7th massacre and the war that they launched since. So the fact that Hamas is welcoming this step, the fact that Iran is welcoming this step, is a clear sign that this is seen as a price for terrorism.
Catherine Connolly, can you respond to the Israeli ambassador calling this a prize for terrorism?
I prefer not to respond to the Israeli ambassador because she's had access to our airways for a very long time and she's failed to learn anything. But what I would say is this is not a prize for terrorism. This is a step for peace. And we can't have peace without recognizing that Palestine has a right to exist, so has Israel. I'm on record for condemning outright the attack by Hamas on the 7th of October. But history did not start on the 7th of October. And if I may, I'm not sure how much time I have, but I know you've interviewed Daniel Levy, and something he said resonated with me. And I have it here that it's possible to hold on to three truths simultaneously. One, the militant attack on Israeli civilians was unconscionable, inhumane, and in violation of international law. Truth number two, Israel's collective punishment against Palestinian civilian and its actions in Gaza are unconscionable, inhumane, and in violation of international law. And truth number three, one must address the context of the occupation and apartheid in which this is unfolding if one is to maintain integrity and be able to plot a strategy going forward in which both Palestinians and Israelis can live in freedom and security. So what we have done here is not a reward for terrorism. We know we have lived with violence in this country, and certainly the people in Northern Ireland. We know what that does to social cohesion and to creating hatred and long-term intergenerational trauma. We have experience in that. We also have experience as a colonized country. And in fact, just over 100 years ago, last year, 100 years ago, we fought our way onto the international stage to join the League of Nations at the time. Such was the importance of the recognition of Ireland as a state. We were a free state while still part of the British Dominion. So what we have done here, finally, is stop the rhetoric and recognize the state of Palestine. And we should continue now as a country to use our unique position as one of the few neutral countries left in the world to be a voice for peace so that Israelis and Palestinians can live and let each other live. But the conditions have to be created for that, to be created for peace. And that hasn't happened. And I don't think it's going to happen with America and other European countries giving unlimited supplies of arms for carrying out a genocide in Palestine as we speak. The figures, you've quoted them earlier on, almost 27,000 people dead, 70% of those women and children. I mean, these figures are just horrific. And if I, as a woman and an independent TD, don't choose not to use my voice, that would be unconscionable for me. And I'm not alone here. This decision by the government in Ireland to recognise the state of Palestine is a direct result of people's outrage and upset on the ground. And finally, the government have bridged the gap in Ireland between what the people want and what the government is actually doing.
You spoke of the US. I want to turn to the US National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, criticising your country, Ireland, Norway and Spain's decisions to recognise Palestine as an independent state.
President Biden, as I just said, has been on the record supporting a two-state solution. He has been equally emphatic on the record that that two-state solution should be brought about through direct negotiations through the parties, not through unilateral recognition.
TD Connolly, with TD is like MP, Member of Parliament, your response.
You see, we were similarly using that argument because the program for government, for this government, started in 2020, and we gave a commitment, or the government gave a commitment, to recognize the state of Palestine. And in fact, we've been discussing it in the Dáil since 1980, but no time was the right time. Similar logic, similar type of language being used by Biden. And finally, we have stopped it and we've shown leadership. Because if we wait for Biden to decide when the time is right, well, first of all, we're an independent sovereign state and we're entitled to make our own decisions. Secondly, if we wait any longer, there will be no Palestine left. It's been bombed out of existence as we continue with this interview. So we must have an immediate ceasefire, and that has to happen. And then we must have a peace plan.
I want to ask you about famine, certainly known so well by people of Ireland. You have the head of the World Food Programme, the widow of the well-known Senator John McCain, a fierce proponent of Israel. You have Cindy McCain saying what's happening in the north of Gaza is a full-blown famine. Talk about that in the context of Irish history.
Yeah, I must say it's very upsetting for Irish people to see that. And we've had this feeling with famines in Africa as well. Our solidarity is immediately with those who suffer in any way, but particularly from famine. And just last Saturday, indeed, I took part. Can you imagine 170 years approximately after the famine, I'm taking part in an annual famine walk up in Mayo to commemorate the millions that died or were forced to leave or died in coffin ships as they went over to America, Canada and other countries. So live is the memory for us. It has come down through the generations. And of course, we had two guest speakers and one of them was from Palestine. And we were actually all reduced to tears as we listened to her tell factually what was happening in Gaza as she spoke. And she talked about losing her five-year-old niece and her grandfather dying both of starvation and a broken heart. So our history of being colonized, our history, we know how to speak truth to power. At least I would like to think that we have learned that lesson and that we are gradually freeing our own minds from being colonized and realize that our role in the world is to speak truth to power, to call out injustice when we see it happening, and to call out what's happening in Palestine as genocide. That's not the same thing as being anti-Semitic. Absolutely, they're worlds apart. Israel has a right, Israeli people have a right to exist just as much as the Palestinians. And to starve, to use famine as a weapon of war and genocide is just It's just, I've no words to describe that.
And your final comments to President Biden, who prides himself on his Irish lineage, his great-great-great-grandfather, Edward Blewett, born around 1803 in Ireland. In his book, Promise Me, Dad, Biden states, we Irish are the only people in the world who are actually nostalgic about the future. Your final words, Catherine Connolly.
I don't know if President Biden is ever going to listen to me, but he might reflect. And I think the difficulty is who's advising him. I think the difficulty behind that is the power of the arms industry and the money and the billions involved here. I would hope that the Irish Americans in America might force him in a certain direction. And I can just... I think rather than focusing on them, I think we have to focus on what we can do. And even though we're only a small country with just over 5 million people, I think we have earned respect in the world for our neutrality, which doesn't mean standing idly by. But we have earned respect as people that can be trusted, and we've sent our troops abroad on peacekeeping missions. And I think that's what we need to focus on, and certainly I, as a member of the opposition, to force action following this momentous decision to recognise Palestine, as I said, to stop troops and weapons going through Shannon, to make sure that we enact the Occupied Territories Bill, to force the EU or push them in the direction of stopping trade with the Israel. And there are many, many more. And going back, we had a report from Amnesty, which the government here choose to ignore, which said that Israel was operating an apartheid regime. And I'd just like to finish, perhaps, I know I'm in the last few seconds, and I recall the death of Rachel Corrie 21 years ago. And that young woman had the courage to stand up to the bulldozer that was flattening Israeli houses, and she stood up and was killed by the soldier driving that bulldozer.
Palestinian houses.
That's 21 years ago. Nobody held to account for that. And that's well before the Hamas attack. And one could pick many other examples. But at some stage, we outside of that conflict have to bring sense to prevail and use our experience in this country as best we can to bring peace and a resolution to the war that's going on.
Catherine Connolly, we want to thank you so much for joining us, independent member of the Irish Parliament, speaking to us from Dublin. Next up, we go to Dr. Adam Hamawi. He just left Gaza after being trapped at the European hospital in Khan Yunis with other American doctors. He is credited by Senator Tammy Duckworth in saving her life when she was in the military in Iraq. Stay with us. Inside by the Irish indie rock band, the Shan Vans. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to look more at Gaza and Israel's continuing targeting of medical facilities. Israeli forces have stormed Al-Awda Hospital in the Jabalia refugee camp, forcing medical staff to abandon the hospital. The World Health Organization issued an urgent appeal for Israel to protect medical staff and patients at the hospital. On Tuesday, three Israeli missiles struck the emergency department at Kamel Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza. We're joined now by Dr. Adam Hamawi. He's a plastic surgeon, Army veteran from New Jersey, who just left Gaza, where he took part in a volunteer mission with the Palestinian American Medical Association. Dr. Hamawi and other volunteer doctors were trapped last week at European hospital in Khan Yunis due to Israel's military offensive. 20 years ago, in 2004, he saved the life of future Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois after she was struck by a rocket-propelled grenade while serving in the Iraq War, losing both her legs and partial use of her right arm. Dr. Hamawi is joining us now from Cairo, Egypt. I'm glad we're able to speak to you again, Dr. Hamawi. Can you talk about what happened in European hospital, your response to what's happening at Al-Auda Hospital, and how you made your way out?
Right now at the European hospital, after we've left, people are afraid and are leaving.